Social media has changed so much for local businesses, how they find new customers, how they shape their brand, even how they promote upcoming sales. But what happens when it turns on them, when Facebook becomes a threat to their survival? GLT's Ryan Denham looks into one recent example here in Bloomington Normal when a Facebook post was the spark that sent a young mother to jail.
No, you can't get arrested for lying about other people on Facebook. If that were the case, we'd need a lot more jails. But if you lie about something really serious, like child abuse, and then lie about it again to police and child protective services, then you've got a problem. That's allegedly what happened last week when 31-year-old Trisha Donius was arrested. She's charged with filing a false report with the Department of Children and Family Services and obstruction of justice. Here's Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner on how it all began one Sunday in late August when Donius allegedly posted on Facebook a photo of a child who she said was abused by staff at the Shining Star Learning Center, a daycare in Normal.
We became aware of a social media post. It was reported to us. So once we were made aware of that, our detectives looked at that social media post and realized that that was something that certainly needed to be reported. It would be a mandatory reporter situation if it was a caregiver. So they then reached out to the individual that made the post. And so then started the investigation based on those statements.
Police say Donius stuck by her story that someone at Shining Star abused the child. Police say that's false and that she knew it. Jill Waller is executive director at Shining Star Daycare. She says the past 2 weeks have been traumatic and very frustrating. She appreciates Normal Police for exonerating her business so publicly after the arrest was made, but it was hard for Waller and her staff to keep quiet for more than a week before Donius was arrested. She says they knew the alleged abuse didn't happen at their daycare, but they couldn't say so publicly.
From an outside perspective looking in, it probably looked like we just weren't stating what was going on, but yet we felt we needed to be cooperative with authorities who were completing the investigation. And then once a formal arrest was made, then we were able to say our side of what was happening.
Then last Wednesday, more than a week after the original Facebook post, Donius was arrested. Here's Jill Waller.
It was a huge relief. From the day after the post was made, we had five staff who were under close monitoring supervision from DCFS. And even though we knew they were innocent, we still had to follow procedures from DCFS. And so it was a very much a relief to all of us to know that that was the end of that part. You know, the end is not over because there are complications now because of the post that had been out there about our business. But we will get through that, and we can move on from there.
So what was put on Facebook exactly, and when?
I believe the date was August 27th. It was a Sunday evening. A former mother from our daycare put a post including pictures of physical abuse that had taken place with two of her children, and she was accusing the staff at the daycare for the abuse. And it just went crazy then on Monday the 28th. I believe there were over 500 shares of that post, and everybody believed it. You know, you can't believe what's on Facebook. You have to really know your facts. But first impulse, everybody believes what they read. And so from that point on, we had a lot of people doubting the care that we were giving their children at the daycare.
So how does that play out Monday? Are you getting phone calls? Are you getting visits from people, concerned parents?
On Monday, we had numerous calls from parents, former parents, former staff, concerned about what they had read. We immediately contacted our licensing representative at DCFS, so she was aware of the situation. The Normal Police Department contacted us. And then a formal investigation began that morning.
Those hundreds of shares on Facebook reached a wider and wider social network in Bloomington Normal, far beyond the borders of Donius's actual network of friends. These days, Facebook settings by default are fairly private, meaning your friends are the only ones who will see most posts from most people. But Nate Carpenter, director of Convergent Media and the Social Media Analytics Command Center at ISU's School of Communication, says that's not necessarily an antidote to something going viral.
You know, as you post, especially if you create some interesting content, you know, people are going to share that. So your friends may share that. And when a friend shares something, your friends' friends start to see something. And it can grow like wildfire from there. You do have to be, you know, cautious about what it is that you share. And again, there are people who are looking for attention. And if they really want attention, they can mark those posts public and make them, you know, able to be shared by anyone.
Police Chief Bleichner says Downews wasn't arrested for the Facebook post. She was arrested for allegedly lying to police and DCFS after they asked her if the allegations were true.
I'm not saying specifically with this case, again, because I want to be cautious with that. But just anytime individuals post things, I think out of human nature, sometimes you may post information or exaggerate that, you know, certain things. But obviously, when you're contacted by officials or authorities inquiring about this and that it's potentially it's a criminal matter, at that point you need to be upfront. I mean, obviously, it's the easiest thing to say, but sometimes it's the most difficult thing to do. So, certainly in that case, had this individual corrected the story, righted the ship there, if you will, we may not have gone down this road. It certainly would not have been a false police report or obstructing justice charges. So this is one of those situations, again, where that continuing with that story, knowing that it was false, was what the concern was.
Normal police went out of their way to exonerate Shining Star in their press release on the arrest last week. It says Shining Star fully and immediately cooperated with detectives. Here's Chief Bleichner.
It's not certainly our part of our mission, I guess, if you will, but certainly one of the things that our detectives were made aware of by employees at the Shining Star Learning Center was that they had received, harassing type phone calls or phone calls in which were, you know, how dare you do these kind of things, that you should be ashamed of ourselves, those kind of things. As well as we were made aware from the company there that they actually had lost individuals or business as a result of that because people had pulled their children out of the academy there, out of the daycare. And so, again, our investigation throughout the whole thing, they were very cooperative. They were very forthright. They assisted us in that investigation, and through that point, you know, we had nothing to believe that there any member of their organization played a part in that. And so because I felt that that company had been either an intentional or an unintended victim out of that, and you know, additionally, I felt it was, you know, would be reasonable to include that information in the media release. So that was why I chose to do that. That's why I chose to make that statement, again, because just to share that, you know, we had no evidence that they've done anything wrong in this case. And again, in fact, they completed fully and cooperated fully with us throughout the course of the investigation.
Okay.
So that's why I felt it was important, again, because I think they did receive, their business could potentially have been harmed and did see some harm as a result of that false statement that was posted out there.
Despite the arrest, Waller is concerned about permanent damage to Shining Star.
We have lost clients over this situation. There are a few families who didn't give specifics why they pulled out, but from the time that post was made till current, we've had 7 children who have dropped out of the center, and that's a financial loss for the daycare. I would hope that we don't have an impact with future clients coming into the center. Hopefully everyone has read what Normal Police Department did put out with total exoneration of our center and staff, but it's been out there and a lot of people have read it, so I'm sure damage has been done. We're just going to try to move forward from this point.
Carpenter from ISU's School of Communication notes that big companies have sophisticated social media monitoring tools so they can keep an eye on reputation-threatening comments. That's why you'll likely get a courtesy response or even action if you tweet something bad about an airline or a cable company. They're listening.
I think the hard part is, you know, not very many businesses have the ability to, you know, really be paying attention 24/7. We see really big companies, you know, like credit card companies and airlines and, major restaurants with big customer service relationships, they're monitoring You know, they spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to monitor the social web just to, again, kind of, you know, deflect any problems that might come up. And if you're looking at a small community-based, you know, company like many of which we have here in Bloomington Normal, it's very hard to keep tabs on everything that's going on at all times. So that response is difficult, and I think it really speaks to, you know, again, the need to develop, you know, communities in the social web and to have those really good relationships with customers in the social web.
Social media can be a force for good. Look no further than the recent hurricanes in Texas and Florida and how social media was the catalyst for empowering volunteers or collecting donations. But social media's darker side is what ensnared Waller and her business.
Honestly, I've never been a fan of Facebook. I tell our staff and even my own two children, you've got to be careful what you put out there because it's going to follow you wherever you go. People read it and take it at face value. And unfortunately, what's out there is not always the truth. And in our situation, we were advised not to respond. We did talk to all of our staff and ask that they keep it professional and not react like they would want to. I mean, it's human nature. You want to defend your family, your so-called friends from work.
It's an extraordinary amount of self-control.
Yes, and I was very impressed that everyone remained very professional throughout. It's very difficult when you read not only the posts that this parent had put on there, but then all the comments that people from the community make. We read a lot of comments from former staff who had worked for us that left in a not so positive manner. So then they were lashing back at the daycare, some of the comments they were making. Same thing with some families who had left our center for various reasons. They were reaching out to air their disgruntlement, but you know, we can't respond to that. And we, like I said, we kept it all very professional, but it's difficult to do, but it's a business situation. It's not your personal Facebook. So that's what I kept telling the staff. You know, we can't respond personally. It's a business.
The restraint that Waller and her staff showed by not posting their own response on Facebook after the original allegations is actually a good strategy. Carpenter talks about businesses that are most successful in defending their reputations on social media.
Well, businesses that are successful tend to have a community of supporters around them. Many cases we talk about you know, in classes that we might teach or examples that we'll look at in the classroom or in client work, we'll talk about, you know, not feeding the trolls or, you know, allowing your community to back you up before you need to even step in and say anything. In most cases, if there's a, you know, legitimate complaint, businesses will try to handle it you know, off of the platform. They want to handle that in private because you don't want to make that any more public than it needs to be. I think, again, when businesses allow their community to step in, again, let's say there's a problem with customer service, you know, most community members who really support that business will step in and say, you know, my experience doesn't match what's going on, or it doesn't, you know, really replicate what we see in the real world. You know, can you elaborate? What was the problem? What was the issue? Again, we see those community members, you know, step in and defend their you know, preferences, or they defend the business that they support. So you know, most businesses will allow that to happen, and they'll allow, you know, we always talk about it as like nature taking its course. Again, that's why it's so important for so many of them to build these solid relationships in the social web. Not only do they get, you know, positive attention, they will get a community of people who will step in and support them when they need it.
Waller is eager to put the episode behind her, and she has some advice for other Bloomington Normal small businesses who may face similar threats to their reputation.
It's difficult to hold back and not say what you want to say, but you have to keep it professional. And in our case, we were just following the advice of what the police department and DCFS were suggesting we do. Other businesses may not have that same support that we did, and we greatly appreciate the support we received from both of those agencies. You just have to be careful what you put out there. I know I said that over and over, but you really do need to be careful what is said.
That's Jill Waller, Executive Director of a Shining Star Learning Center. Before that, it was Nate Carpenter from ISU's School of Communication and Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner. I'm Ryan Denham.
Trissa Danius, the normal mother who was arrested last week in the case, faces two Class 4 felony charges. She's due back in court September 15th for an arraignment.